Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton. Along with me is the mortgage doctor, Arby Abramian. Hi, Arby.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I am fired up today, and I'll tell you why off camera and off mic. We are talking about rich and poor and the difference in the thought of how people view their opportunities or their disadvantages. It's really fascinating stuff. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. And if you want to reach us online,
go ahead to www.malibufunding.net.
Yes, and our email address is info@malibufunding.net. Okay, let's get right into it. First off, top of the show, let's go to news and notes. Who's our Realtor of the Week this week, Arby?
Realtor of the Week is Sevan Kevorkian from RE/MAX.
Sevan, if you're out there and listening, congratulations. You have won our Realtor of the Week. So you got any properties out there for sale?
Actually, I'm looking at one property. It says 3-bedroom, 2-bath. Between K-Line and 2 blocks to Whole Foods, and it's listed for $858,000.
Okay, you are our Realtor of the Week, and if you're going to want to get in touch with him, does he have a phone number down there or
yes,
email address?
Yes, his phone number is 415-412-4716.
Okay, a lot of the things that we did want to get to today early in the show is, what realtors are looking from their mortgage bankers, their mortgage brokers, their lenders, and how they can help the lender or the mortgage broker can help the realtor get into that property on the buy side or secure for the seller positive financing. And we're going to go through the top five of that in just a minute. I did want to point out that we're going to have a couple of great guests today talking about reverse mortgages and talking about the conditions couple of lending institutions that we do business with, Tim Grayson being the one who's going to talk about HECMs, which is reverse mortgages, and of course, Kim Soash, who is an account executive for Mountain West Financial. Okay, that being out of the way, how are the market conditions up in the Bay Area, up in San Francisco?
It's always great.
Smoking, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and this leads us to the topic we were talking about off air. All right. People have an idea about their opportunities or their disadvantages, and it's a matter of income level. Now, we all know that income level are going to, let's just talk about it. Rich people are Republicans, poor people are Democrats. Isn't that the way it works? I mean, basically, isn't that? Maybe it doesn't. But certainly in the election cycle, we always hear about whether the Democrats are all out for more taxes so that they can spread the wealth around or even the playing field. And Republicans are all about opportunity and no, keep your hands off my government welfare, something like that, right? Exactly right. All right, so what we're talking about then is the opportunity or the disadvantage. All right, you are in our listening audience. You are living somewhere within the three-city area of San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. Depending on who you are, where you sit, how much money you make, and the ability for you to rise above where you started. That's what we're talking about here. And why is that important? Because the perception of what you can do is really so much about the potential that you bring to your situation. Perfect example. Arby, you were talking about this gentleman during the last recession, not this current one, but the last one. What's his name?
Cosimano.
Cosimano. And where does he live? He lives in Southern California, right?
Yes, yes.
And you know him personally or you know of him?
I know of him.
Okay, tell us the story. Tell us what happened to the guy.
He basically owns majority of all the commercial buildings in Burbank.
In Burbank, California. That's down near Los Angeles. For those of you who don't know, Burbank's big city, big financial center. And he started out as what?
He was just a regular person and just working like a regular full-time job.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, he just went into real estate during last recession, and he started buying commercial buildings. And one after another, next thing you know, he's a multimillionaire.
Okay. So this simplistic example of what you can do with opportunity. Now, let's dig a little deeper. The heritage of this person is what?
Italian.
He's an Italian-American,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
Was he born in the United States?
Yes.
So he was born here, first generation, second generation?
That I don't know.
Okay, so let's just say—
I didn't go into their family trees.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is here, the perception that most people have is that there is limited opportunity. I bet he had a college education. Yes,
I'm not,
no?
I'm not sure.
Well, obviously the guy was hardworking and put his nose to the grindstone and obviously had enough money or backing or people behind him with money so that he could go out and get that first building. How he turned that building into another building, into another building, and then 15, 20 years later, obviously owns a great deal of Burbank commercial real estate.
Sure. I mean, just like, you know, just seeing an opportunity and going after that opportunity and making it happen.
My point, and obviously ruined now because I thought he was an immigrant, was that there is an immigrant mentality to people who just get to this country. They come here, they look around, and they say, oh, my gosh, there is opportunity all over the place. And many, many, many of the people who come from other places get to the United States and within a generation are very wealthy people. If not very wealthy people, certainly doctors or lawyers or professional people who can then provide for their families and do things. Well, I would say that the reason for that is probably they're just more ambitious. They see opportunity and they don't see the problems. They see where they came from. Like if you came from the former Soviet bloc, or let's say you came from South America. I know that there are many different nationalities that make up Los Angeles. There are many different nationalities that make up San Francisco and certainly Seattle and a number of the cities on the West Coast where what we see now coming out of the recession is a booming economy in all three of these places. So having the ambition and the drive is most definitely an immigrant mentality. And in these three areas seems to be a place where you can actually make it. Doesn't matter where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need is what?
Just have a great idea.
Great idea, great opportunity.
See the opportunity going after.
Absolutely. So just starting off the show, just understanding, and we're not here to say, hey, look, there are plenty of disadvantaged people who have been born here and who've made it out and who are doing extremely well. But it's ambition and drive that puts those economic opportunities in front of people, as opposed to people who, you know, either for whatever reason, don't have that drive. And I believe it's genetic more than anything else. And sure, it's institutional when you're driving people down. And I think there's plenty of that and plenty of examples of that, both historically in the United States and also in California, where, you know, if you're a certain type of person or a certain group of people, yeah, you're put down and you've been held down. And, you know, there is nothing but, you know, disdain I have for that kind of attitude, whether it's with law enforcement, whether it's with economic opportunity, whether it's with a glass ceiling with a particular class of people. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. It's wrong. And that's one of the reasons I liked living in Los Angeles for a while. I liked the Bay Area, and I certainly liked – I lived in New York for a long time. I lived in Chicago. I lived in Boston. Big urban areas are tremendous because they give you the opportunity because nobody's got time to really, you know, point at you and say you're different and therefore you can't because it's just too many people.
That's right. I mean, even if you look at the mortgage, prior to 1978, same thing was happening in mortgage business.
Tell me about it.
That's why they came out with this new law that's called the fair lending. And they cannot discriminate the borrower against their race, religion, age. So basically after 1978, things changed. Prior to that, they were it's called redlining, and they were saying, okay, we're going to lend to this group of people and not to the other ones.
Exactly. And the fair lending laws are all about what Dodd-Frank is, and many of the laws in the RESPA laws and in the truth in lending laws are all about equal and fair credit, equal and fair lending, equal practices under the law, so that basically what stands out in your application is the application, not necessarily who you are, where you're from. We want to know your income, obviously. We want to know that you've got a job and that you can continue to pay, obviously. We want to know that you've got history of paying when you have debt. So these are all obvious things. And then the likelihood of you paying off your mortgage, that as well. In this particular marketplace up in the Bay Area, we have got a very hot real estate market. Let's just get into the top five, what realtors want. Your realtor, if you're out there looking for a house right now, what are they going to want from me, the lender? Let's give them the top one. What's the first one?
The number one thing is communication.
Absolutely. Can you talk? Can you listen? Can you fulfill promises? That's the most important thing to anybody in any relationship. And what do you build on that? You build trust.
Correct.
And that's what we want to do. 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton. With me is the mortgage doctor, Arbi Abramian. Give us a call right now and get your mortgage prescription filled. www.malibufunding.net is our website. And, of course, info@malibufunding.net is our email. What's number two there, Arbi?
Be timely.
What does that mean?
Just make sure everything's done according to the time. For example, if the mortgage, purchase contract says that everything needs to be executed within 10 days,
right.
We have to be sure that it's done within 10 days.
Okay, let's go to the next one. The next one is be creative and flexible. The fourth one is give the consumers a good idea. I have no idea
good
what
deal.
That means. We'll have to explore that one in a minute. And the last one, of course, is
don't ignore decline deals.
Right, exactly. So if you've got out there and you've been declined by a certain letter, make sure you give us a call. We can solve problems other people can't. Why? Because we're a lender and a broker. I got 40 banks that work with me as a broker, and I lend my own money, so I make my own decisions too. Make sure you give us a call. My name is Jeff Barton. You are listening to Your Mortgage Voice, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Really excited. We have a great guest in studio today, and we were just talking off air. With me today is Tim Grayson, and he works with HeyLeads, and he is an expert in the reverse mortgage section of the mortgage industry. And we were just talking about Bank of America and Wells Fargo and the difficulties that they've had with their lawsuits and the amount of money that they've had to pay off. And Tim just, you know, off the top of his head, because that's who he is, was talking about Wells Fargo and the difficulty, the trouble, and that now they're even out of the space entirely. What happened in this? I guess it was a lawsuit that was against them?
Yeah,
what happened?
It was a class action lawsuit.
Okay.
And,
you
know, a few years back, they were the largest reverse mortgage lender
in the country.
Okay. And then magically they left the scene. And part of the reason, or the main reason that they did, is typically they would keep information from the customers and to benefit themselves. And HUD stepped in and put a class action lawsuit against them and basically kind of put them out of business. What they were doing was they weren't giving them their full rights. They weren't allowing them to do what they could do with the property.
Okay, so what you were explaining to me is, okay, let's say my parents have a reverse mortgage on the house. They both die. And now there is a reverse mortgage on the house, and there is a will in that I get the property. And what was the bank doing?
The bank was saying, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. Okay, now hand over the keys.
Get out.
Right, right. So basically they were making it seem like you have got to do something right now with this property, get rid of it right now, and that's it.
Right, the reverse mortgage is up. We need our property. We need the agreement that was signed. You got to get out.
That's correct.
Okay, what's the real truth?
The real truth is that that's what they would like, but the government has a whole different viewpoint on it, and they say, hey, listen, they want to make it as easy transition as possible to benefit the family. So
okay.
What they'll give you is, let's just say I inherited a property from
right.
my mom or something. I would get 6 months to try to refinance the property. Let's just say
okay.
I couldn't do that. Then they'd give me another 6 months. After that, then I could say, okay, you know, now I would like to try to sell the property. Now I can at least get a year to a year and a half to do that.
Okay.
And let's just say the worst case scenario is that I couldn't do it. There is no equity left. And now we go into the foreclosure process, which is at least another year. But what the lender does not want you to know is that during that whole period of time, 3 up to maybe 4 years or something, you could rent out that. I could rent out that property. For example, if I rent it out for $2,500 a month, that's $30,000 a year. Over a course of 3 years, it's $90,000. Over a course of 4 years, that's $120,000 into my pocket without having to make any kind of payment on the property or anything else like that.
Just by saying that you want to refinance a property, and when that doesn't work, you want to sell the property, and when that doesn't work, you go into foreclosure, you can still rent it out and keep the money?
That's correct.
Because HUD has no issue with this.
They're the ones that put that into action. That's
okay.
Their law.
Okay, so the people that have the problem with it is the bank,
right?
Who did the reverse mortgage,
right?
And they were not telling the customer,
right? They don't want to wait 4 years for their money. They want to settle up now. In some cases, you know, who knows? Maybe you know, this was during the peak of the market when they got the reverse mortgage and the properties dropped by half. Maybe they're upside down. They want to get paid on this thing right here and now, but that is not what the government allows for.
Okay, this is very interesting. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the listening audience right now who have a similar situation. First of all, reverse mortgages. What are they? How they can benefit you? How they can benefit your parents? There are a lot of ways to go with all kinds of different products. And if you give us a call at 888-713-2929, Tim's right here. He's right now, and he can help you answer the questions on reverse mortgages. He is an expert. He's done a lot of training for us, a lot of YouTube videos. Okay, so that's one scenario which you've just educated not only me but everybody in the listening audience about how you can help protect them from vulture banks, from predatory lending, from people who are coming after the property after someone has passed away. Obviously, it's a difficult time. Tell me, give me an overview of, in your opinion, of reverse mortgage right now in today's market and the kind of product that what we're seeing out there. What is the reverse mortgage?
Okay. The government built and designed this product in every aspect to be beneficial to the homeowner. Now, if you compared it side by side with a traditional mortgage, every single aspect of it is superior, and I'll tell you why. If you treated this as a regular mortgage, because you can actually make payments on a reverse mortgage, you'll get a nice low interest rate, you don't have to qualify income-wise yet, you don't have to qualify with a certain credit score or something, or assets in a bank, you could get a super low interest rate. You could even make payments on it that would be lower than the ones you have right now. You could make interest-only payments if you wanted. You could make zero payments. You could pull out money. It basically puts you in control of your situation with your house instead of a bank having control. On a traditional loan, if you don't make your payment, they take your house. On reverse mortgage, you don't make a payment on it, which you don't have to, obviously, then the only thing happens is your interest only goes up, you know, maybe 2.5% a year or something, but it's very nominal. The government did not build a reverse mortgage to be a hindrance to a person. It made all aspects beneficial.
And this is for retired people. Is that right?
62 or over.
Okay, very good. So this is about people who have paid off their home or have a lot of equity. How much equity do you have to have in your home to even qualify for a reverse mortgage?
Well, I mean, it depends on your age. The younger you are in the reverse mortgage world, you're going to have more equity, you know, maybe about 60%, 55%. But hey, listen, I've seen reverse mortgages where they had like, you know, 25% equity in a home and they could still get it.
Okay, so this product designed for people who are retired, who are on a fixed income, their income levels are, as I just said, fixed, meaning that they're probably getting Social Security, maybe some kind of a retirement 401k, and maybe some kind of a pension. I know a lot of people who are baby boomers retiring right now, the beneficiaries of companies that actually did have these programs in place. A lot of kids that are out there now, my own in particular, they're going to get into workforce which doesn't have that kind of protection with their companies, at least a lot of them. However, for people who are on a fixed income, 62 years and above, who are really tight on making payments to the mortgage, payments to insurance, payments if medical bills come up, this is the product designed for them.
Yes, and let me tell you one aspect that most people don't see on this, and probably the biggest concern that a parent would have is they want to leave the maximum amount to their kids, which I understand. I have a child. I'd love to give maximum too, but there's also considerations too where, you know, if something came up that's an emergency situation, you'd like to protect yourself. There is a way to structure a reverse mortgage where you do not – where the fees can be waived. So these huge fees, and some of them are like $20,000-some-odd, can be completely waived.
What do you mean by fees? Fees to do the reverse mortgage?
Right. The biggest part of it's a government insurance fee that they have out there. But these fees can be waived in certain situations. And, for example, I know of a person that owes $45,000 on their property. After the reverse mortgage is done, their balance is still going to be $45,000, so nothing went up, didn't go up one penny, But this person now has a line of credit of about $110,000 where she could take out $50, she could take out $5,000, she could take out, $75,000 or whatever.
This is a reverse mortgage line of credit?
Right. And your balance won't go up one penny. If you got this reverse mortgage and just did it for an emergency situation, if you never touch the line of credit, your balance would never go up. And she is just going to make the interest-only payments instead of what she's making right now. She's paying $300 a month less than what she's paying right now. And she's got a line of credit there just in case of an emergency.
Right. And everybody knows the older you get, and we're all in the same boat. We're all going to be there someday where your medical bills are going to exceed your income and you're going to need some money, some way to be able to pay for it, whether your insurance pays for some of it. There's always the need. And you're saying this type of product in a reverse, what's it called?
A reverse mortgage line of credit.
Okay, reverse mortgage line of credit. You don't have to use it, but it's there if you do need it.
Right. And the way it could be structured is that you will not pay one nickel to get this. And if you never use it, when you pass away, your kids will get it with the same amount that you owe on it now, or in her case, $45,000. It's a perfect scenario. So it lets her sleep better at night. If she never has to touch it, no harm, no foul. And if she needs it, it's right there for her.
Okay, excellent. Tim, thanks for coming in. We're going to have Tim back because this subject is huge. It's broad. There's a lot to it. We've had Tim on the show before. And, Tim, I really want to appreciate you coming in. I really want to thank you for coming in.
No problem, Jeff.
Okay, and also understand that this all comes with government-sponsored counseling, insurance. So give us a call at 888-713-2929. Tim is still in studio, so if you have your questions, give us a call.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. And we've reached this portion of the show where we're going to talk about questions from you, the listening audience, who have gotten in touch with us through our Facebook, Home Loans: Malibu Funding. Pop right up. You can ask questions via the social network or our email address, info@malibufunding.net, or you can just give us a call, 888-713-2929. We have a question from Alicia. Okay, she asks, I have a 10 to 20% down payment. Good for you. That'll help. But I have dings on my credit. I don't know what that means. I want to buy now before the prices go up. Okay, this is a pretty standard question. Credit score versus down payment. Now, right now, there are two worlds out there lending money. There's the FHA world, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac world, which you have to fit inside a box. That box is created by government agencies that either insure your loan, that's because they're giving you a low down payment, FHA is 3.5%, or you can have a conventional loan, but those loans are sold to Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae. Now, that particular box is credit-driven. FHA, you can actually go down to 580 credit score. So I don't know what kind of dings you have on your credit, but let's just say that you can't even fit into that box. There are non-QM lenders. What's a non-QM lender? QM is qualified mortgage. Qualified mortgages are get sold to Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, Ginnie Mae, and obviously FHA loans. HECM loans, which are also reverse mortgages. These are all government-styled QM qualified mortgage loans. In the non-qualified mortgage space means that that fund that is funding your loan does not come from a government-sponsored entity, whether it's a mortgage-backed securities by a hedge fund or whether it's funds from a sovereign fund, some foreign national bank, or whether it's Wall Street money. Now, there's a lot more of this money coming into the mortgage lending sphere now than there has been in the last 3 or 4 years. Why? Because the need for this type of product is huge. Stated income people, people with bad credit, people with foreclosures, people that are not necessarily bad borrowers because they have equity in the property. So here's a person who's going to have up to 20%. I have a lender right now that we can use with Malibu Funding, which can get you a loan based on 20% equity, and the credit score may be not great. And what do I mean by not great? Certainly 580 qualifies as not great, doesn't it? Most loans that get sold to Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae have to be at least 620 to 640. Now, some of the conventional lenders are loosening up, and Malibu Funding as a lender is also loosening up, but those non-QM lenders, which is not hard money, these are loans which will be a little bit more expensive in terms of rate, but not in costs. So give us a call at 888-713-2929 if you have this particular problem. Okay, let's go to the next question. And this question came to me in the form of an email. I know nobody uses email anymore, but it did. Jamie writes, what are your rates on refinance? Okay, on the show, one thing that we do not do is quote rates. But what I can tell you is rates today are as low as they've been in the last 18 months. Now, why do I say that? I say that because we have several influences on rates in the marketplace. The main one being the bond market. Everybody says, okay, bonds go up, rates go down, bonds go down, rates go up, something like that. Well, let me just say that if you've noticed the world, what's happening out there in the Middle East or in the former Soviet Union or in some parts of China, a lot of social unrest. And there's a lot of money in these places. And what's the first thing that happens when these places go up in flames or there's some strife or there's some war going on? The money in those areas come to the U.S. And most of the money coming to the U.S. Is funneled into the real estate market, either by buying mortgage-backed securities from Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or through some other purchase of real estate. So rates will be low for a good given time. We've also heard Janet Yellen recently tell us, yes, rates will remain low, and they will remain low for several months to come, if not up to 2015. Well, we're already in the middle of 2014, so does that mean 6 months? No, I'm thinking at least 18 months we can crystal ball it and say the rates are probably going to remain low. Okay, let's go right now to our Facebook feed. Bob writes us, how quickly can you get my loan done? Oh, Bob's got several questions here. Hold on. How quickly can you get the loan done? What are the costs? Are you the real estate appraisal escrow company too? Okay, these are standard questions. They're all RESPA questions. And what is RESPA? Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, which is talking about disclosing to you, the general public, if we have affiliations with any of these type of companies. The answer is no. We don't have affiliations with a appraisal company, an escrow company, a title company, none of those. Anything that we talk about, any people that we interview on the show that happen to be in the business are people we've known in the business that we want to educate you, whether it's a title company, the escrow company, the appraisal company, which we've done and will continue to do on the show. But no, we have no affiliation with those type of people. What are the costs? The costs are disclosed to you in two ways. When we take an application from you, we are obligated by law to send you out a estimated closing statement, or what they call a GFE, a good faith estimate. Both of these things, whether it's a real estate deal or whether it's a loan, are required by law. And what we're going to do is we're going to detail for you on the GFE, which is the good faith estimate, the closing costs. Now, the closing costs in general from our side will probably be a lender fee, and there will probably be in there also a processing fee. So the lender fee would come from whoever the lender is. If it's Malibu Funding, there will be a fee. Or if it's from one of our many investors as a broker, it'll be their fee. Usually it's around $895, $900, something like that. And they underwrite the file. We underwrite the file. Also in that will be in a, processing fee. The processing fee is for that person who takes the file and works it through the system, through the loan origination software, and submit it to the lender for their underwriting. That person, that job can be anywhere from $395 to $495. In addition to that, you're going to find on the GFE, you're going to find the title costs, and that's usually $100, $150 flat fee, and then it's $1.50 to $2.50 per thousand after that. Whatever it is, you can add it up. On top of that is the title fee, and trying to think what else is in there. But anyway, you will get these two, either one or two statements. If you're in a real estate deal, you're going to get a closing statement estimate, or if you're in a loan with us, you're going to get a good faith estimate. So all of this is going to wrap up your cost. And so, like I say, when we talk to you on the phone, you can give us a call at 888-713-2929 anytime. Ask for myself, ask for RB, ask for any of the number of the agents which are on our website at www.malibufunding.net. You can also reach us on our Facebook, if you haven't already done so, Home Loans: Malibu Funding, and you will find Malibu Funding's Facebook page. And click on likes. We like likes. Don't people like likes? I like likes. Yes, exactly. So you can go to us in any of these different forums and any of these different setups so that we can answer any of your questions. We're excited to be in the marketplace. We're excited to be up here in the Bay Area. We're going to be bringing some local color to the show by bringing on some local realtors, local experts that can help you in talking about refinances or purchases or what's happening in the local market. The most important thing to understand is you've got to find people that you trust to work with. And part of what we try to do on the radio show is give you a broad range of issues and topics and information so that you can see, look, we're more interested in having you be educated because we know the more that the audience or the consumer or the buyer and seller or the person who needs a refinance on their house, the more you know, the better you're going to trust us because we're not the type of people that want to hide things from you. It's just easier to be upfront and open, and that's the kind of person I am, both personally and as a professional. I know that in our industry, in either the buying and selling of properties or doing mortgages, it's not always been like that. But if you do give us a call, make sure that you either talk to me personally, you talk to RV, you talk to anybody in the company that you want to, so that we can get you the information to be able to help you decide what you want to do and then execute what you want to do to get you to the solution that you need.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. It's Jeff Barton again with your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929, Malibu Fundings, Inc., radio show that we put on once a week. I'm really happy to have Kim here today. Kim Soash is an account executive with Mountain West Financial, a company that we've done business with since you've been there. How long have you been over there?
I've been here for 2 years, but you and I have been working together for 10 years.
Yes, we have. 10 years. We were just going through that off air as well. Hey, you know what? A lot of good stuff happens off air. We should really record that and have that be the show. So, yeah, we started together in terms of our relationship in the lending world in, I think, 2002, maybe 2004, something like that. Right. And you worked for Citibank before?
Yeah, City Mortgage initially.
Okay. And tell me, what is your opinion of the difference between the large banks and where you are now? I mean, what obviously you've moved on from Citi because they don't do this anymore. But when you were there, the reason I ask is because there are so many people out there who are listening that are with Bank of America, Citibank, Chase, all of the large corner banks. And they're saying, okay, I need a loan. Where am I going to go? How am I going to get a loan? And I always say, look, you want service. You want people that are going to listen. You want the type of service that we can provide, that you guys provide over there at Mountain West as well.
Right, right.
Through your wholesale relationships with guys like me.
I would say that that's probably spot on. The biggest difference is the service. Because interestingly enough, I was recently going to refinance my own house, which was through Chase. And it was just a endless amount of people that I had to talk to before you would get to the person who could finally answer your question.
Right.
And really didn't know that much. And being in the loan industry, I know my loan very well. In fact,
right.
I have to say, you'll laugh. I said, I know my credit report. I ran my credit. I have my raw credit. You know, let's talk about an interest rate. And the lady at Chase said, well, you know, your credit report really doesn't have anything to do with your interest rate. And I said, okay, I think we might be done here.
So right, exactly. Oh, that's interesting that you say that. So really, what does have it to do with it?
Right, right. So I think I was surprised at the lack of knowledge where in the broker community with Malibu Funding, you have people who have a long, long history of working with individual loans, different individual scenarios. They really understand the industry. They understand.
Let's get into something here. One of the reasons I brought Kim in today is because Mountain West, through Malibu Funding, the relationship is they do wholesale and we are, of course, a mortgage broker. Wholesale means that you have to go through the mortgage broker in order to get these types of programs. So we're with 40 different lenders, but the down payment assistance program, that's something you got to listen up for, because let's say you're in the marketplace and you just don't have enough down payment to qualify for the type of mortgage that you know you can get if you did have the money. Tell us about some of the things that you can offer, because I think it's exciting.
It is super exciting, and since we're in a purchase market right now,
right,
people want to get in a home and often think that they can't afford to get in a home, right, or they're trying to scrape together enough money for a down payment and are just coming up a little bit short,
right,
and don't really realize that there are down payment assistance programs available out there throughout the state of California. They might be specific to counties or government loans. They might be employer assistance, but it can be anywhere from 3% of your purchase price or 3% of your loan amount up to, there's programs out there that are $120,000 in down payment assistance. So
Name. What's the name of the program?
Well, one of the probably the most popular programs that that we do weekly, there's a CHDAP program that is a 3% down. It's 3% of the purchase price. And that can be used towards your down payment. It can be used towards your closing costs or a combination of both.
Okay, wait, let's slow down. CHDAP, that's CHDAP, all in caps.
Correct.
What does it mean?
The California Housing, let's see, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yeah, exactly. let's just make it up. California Housing Department of
Down Payment Assistance.
Yes. Well, that's what it is. It's a down payment assistance program. And this is a city program, county program, state?
It's a state program. Okay. And it's 3% of the sales price. And it's based on the individual's household income. So okay, what makes it kind of nice is that if you have a husband and wife living in the house, they have two kids, grandma lives there,
right,
and they look at the total head count of the people living in the house,
okay,
and that's what you use to qualify their income. So the more people living in the house, the more income they're allowed to make.
Oh, I see. So basically they average out. Let's say you have five people in there, you're making $100,000 a year. That really means that each person is making $20,000.
Well,
something like that.
Yeah. Most of these down payment assistance programs, they have a couple of things that are associated with them.
Okay.
Usually, not 100%, but probably 99.9% of them need to be for first-time homebuyers.
Okay.
And first-time homebuyer doesn't mean it's the first time you've ever bought a home. It just means that you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years.
Oh, it's 3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was two. So 3 years.
So
okay,
in the last 3 years, if you haven't bought a house, then you're still considered a first-time homebuyer.
Okay.
They always have to be owner-occupied.
Of course.
They almost generally are income-restricted, but the income restriction can vary depending on the program.
Okay. Well, give me some parameters here or some,
Well, like say, for instance, in the Los Angeles area, the income restriction might be that $78,000.
Okay, so
for an individual, which isn't low income, it's decent
right,
income.
Is that the whole household?
That would be $78,000,
regardless of how many people are in the household.
That would be on an individual qualification program, and that would be the one person who's on the loan. So if two people are going to be on the loan combined, they can't have more than $78,000.
So that's the income limit is $78,000. Okay, so
right,
we're being broadcast up in the San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland areas. So if you're listening to the program right now and you're hearing, okay, I can get 3% down payment assistance program, all things being equal, meaning that obviously you'll have to give us a call at 888-713-2929 to let us look at your paperwork. But you are eligible if you make under that, given all the parameters being good to go, up to $78,000 for 3% of the purchase price.
Correct. And actually, San Francisco is even more generous. It varies from county to county.
Okay, what is it up in the Bay Area?
San Francisco is $111,665.
Okay, so this now has just included a whole bunch of people that were thinking, oh man, I just missed out. Well, you haven't missed out. That's a big down payment assistance, meaning that the property values in up here are incredible.
Correct.
Up in the Bay Area, right? I mean, as it goes in the continental U.S., probably the number one market in the country in terms of both recovery and prices and price increases in the last 3 to 5 years is the San Francisco Bay Area.
Right.
Right. Right. So this particular amount of money, you're thinking, wow, 3% at 100 and how much? 111,000?
111,665.
Okay. So this says, okay, what is that FHA limit up in that area? This would be basically a conventional loan then.
They're always conventional loans, so 417,
okay,
right.
Okay, so, all right, so basically you're getting 3%, and most loans Does Mountain West do a 95% loan, or is it 90%?
95%.
Okay, so you do a 95% loan.
Right.
Which basically means with this down payment assistance program, you have to come up with 2% on your own.
Correct.
Can it be gifted?
It can be. It can be gifted, but if it's over 90, with conventional loans, if it's FHA, it's 100% can be gifted.
Okay, but this can't be FHA.
It can be FHA.
Oh, you're, it can be FHA.
It can be FHA.
But what are the limits in the area, in San Francisco, for FHA loans? What is it, $625,000?
$625,500.
Right, okay. So this particular program, if you have a house that's $625,000, you can go FHA and you get up to 3% of the purchase price.
Correct.
Through this program, which means that you come up with the other 2%. But as we all know, there's not a ton of properties up in the area that are valued at that. I mean, obviously in this area, we've got very expensive homes. But with this down payment assistance program, can you buy condos with it?
You can buy condos, the single family homes, and PUDs. They just not units,
okay,
so not
what's
two
a PUD?
To four units. It's a planned unit development.
Okay,
so it's
okay.
A home. It might be a home that has an HOA, and maybe
oh,
they
see.
Take care of the green belt, or they take care of, you know, maybe it has some kind of community portion
yeah,
of it, a pool, or there's something that the community
oh,
shares.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Very good.
So, but they're homes. You know, HOAs with condos is familiar, but some people aren't familiar with PUDs. It's kind of the same, but for single family homes.
Okay. So down payment assistance programs through Malibu Funding, and of course, using Mountain West Financial. You can call Kim at any time, by the way. She's here now, 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton. And a couple other things. Where do you see the market headed? How do you see rates going? What do you think's happening?
Well, it's a volatile market right now. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster with the rates, but they remain low. I think, though, we have to expect that they're not going to stay low. So it's a good time to take advantage that the rates are low now, because, you know, eventually they will go back
up. Where do you guys lend mostly? In California, or are you national?
We lend in California. We started out actually up in a little Lake Arrowhead area back in 1990, but now we're lending in California, Washington, Oregon, and Arizona.
Okay.
And trying to build on that on the West Coast.
Okay. And what when we're talking to different lenders that come in to the show, what we try to do is to bring both to the audience and obviously to educate myself is a difference that can help you, something that is pertinent, something that you can take and say, hey, you know what? This may not help me. It might help my cousin. It might help a friend down the street. It might help a son, a daughter, some family member. So make sure you think of this type of program when you're out there in the purchase market. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And Kim, thanks very much. I really appreciate
you. Thanks for having
me
today. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. And back with me now is Arby Abramian. Hi, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm great. I want to thank Tim and Kim for both coming in. I really appreciated what they had to say. Anytime we bring in a guest with this kind of information from either one of these people, I mean, you just want to talk to them for a while because the information is timely, it's important, and it's very difficult to get all of their knowledge, what they have to offer in a very short segment of the show. So anything that you did hear from them on the show, make sure you give us a call at 888-713-2929. We're here right now. We can answer your calls. Matter of fact, both Tim and Kim are still here in the green room, so you can definitely give us a call. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about earlier in the show. Before the interview sections was a couple of things what the realtors want. We skimmed over a couple of things before the break and the first part of the show. So we got into number three, which is be creative and flexible. And what we were talking about is realtors, your realtor out there looking for that house or looking to sell your house. What do they need from people like me? I'm a mortgage banker. I'm a mortgage broker. I'm a guy that knows a lot about financing. If you're selling your house or if you're looking to buy a house, how can I help your realtor? Well, this week's, Scotsman's Guide, they came up with a top five of what I can do to help your realtor. Some of these are excellent in terms of both, you know, just general principles of business, listening to one another. The first one was communication. Second one was being timely, meaning that you communicate what you're going to do and then you're living up to what you said you're going to do or based on what the contract says in a purchase contract. The third one, of course, was be creative and flexible. What do you think they mean here? I mean, I know what they mean, but give an example here.
Don't have a narrow-minded. So because, for example, a self-employed person wants to get a loan, and as a self-employed, he's deducting a lot of his taxes. Right. So he's not showing too much income, but in reality, every month he's making a lot of income. On a regular side of the loan, the lender is going to say, okay, you know what? Because you're not showing this on your taxes, we cannot give you the loan.
Right.
But there are other lenders that are going to say, you know what? We don't care. All we care is about the equity in the house. Put 30% down, get the house.
Okay, so that this is a different way to look at a purchase that you might not necessarily have looked at before. Business owner, making some good change, you don't want to pay taxes. I mean, that's a basic bottom line to writing things off. That's why we all have businesses, so that we can put, let's say, your two cars that you're really driving at home, you're putting through your business. Okay, that's a business expense, but you're really using them as a personal expense, right? So that's a write-off that Arby's talking about that necessarily you would have to make on the personal side that you're actually putting through your business. But the income you're making is pretty darn good. So what we want to do is say, look, there are non-QM lenders, there are bridge lenders, there are hard money lenders, all of them where the rates and the terms can be explored. This is flexibility. This is the creativeness that we can bring to the loan process. All right, let's get to number four. What's number four?
Give the consumer a good deal.
Exactly. That's exactly what we do.
You know why? Because you want a repeat customer. You want to be the bank of for every deal that they try to purchase for
family,
the future.
Their friends.
Yes.
Look, I want to be, first of all, I am a good guy. First of all, I would give you a good deal anyway. But the fact is that when you do that, when you're honest, when you communicate, when you live up to what you say, when you be creative where nobody else could help these people, heck, we're doing 8 loans for a guy right now about
sure,
that.
Yeah.
So the point being is that this is going to allow us to be able to give you a good deal. Hey, there's an old expression, even a dog leaves something on the table, right? So the point being is that when you're looking for guys like us as partners with your realtor to either sell your house or get a house, understand that giving you a good deal is a good deal for us, too. We're going to make enough money so that we can live, but we're not going to take every nickel that we can get out of every deal. It just doesn't make sense. The last one, of course, is don't ignore declined deals. And obviously, we just sort of hit on that. Arby, I want to thank you for coming in today once again.
Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome show. Arby Abrami and the Mortgage Doctor. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
This has been the Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program, along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.